Get ready to be mesmerized. Get ready to be entertained. Get ready to be informed. And most of all, get ready to listen. The latest sports news, great interviews, and the best coverage from around the nation's capital. It's Listen In with KNN, the sports sound of the district, right now on AM 1340 and 96.9 FM, Fox Sports Radio. Here's your host, Kelsey Nicole Nelson.
Hello, sports fans, and welcome to another exciting edition of Listen In with KNN, presented by Fox Sports Radio, 96.9 FM and 1340 AM, with me, your host, Kelsey Nicole Nelson, alongside the one and only my co-host, Mr. Ray Jones. Ray, how are you today?
I'm doing well, Kelsey. How are you doing?
I'm great. We've got a great one for our guests, so I'm in good spirits. I know this is going to be a hot one when we drop it, so very excited for that, Ray. And for those listening on today's episode, we will welcome in a former minor professional baseball player in Jimmy C. Gardner, who was wrongfully accused in West Virginia and spent 27 years in jail. So he has a powerful, powerful, powerful inspirational and motivational story that he'll be telling with y'all today. So y'all will have to stay tuned. And with that, it means it's time to sit back, relax, and get ready to listen in and follow along with the conversation on social media using hashtag ListenInWithKNN. It's now time to switch it over to my co-host, Ray Jones, for This Week in Sports History.
All right, this week I'm taking it back to April 1st, 1931. Jackie Mitchell became the first female in professional baseball. She was a pitcher for the Chattanooga Lookouts in the Class AA minor league baseball team. In an exhibition game against the New York Yankees, she struck out Babe Ruth and Lou Gehrig in succession. So shout out to her, Jackie Mitchell, being the first female baseball player.
What you got? Perfect timing. I love it.
And be able to also just give people more insight to who I am and just insight to just how things are in life and et cetera.
All right. And before we go any further, I just want to start off with a little icebreaker game we like to do just to get everybody a little warmed up and loosened up. We call this game This or That. Very simple game where you pick one or the other. You ready to go?
Yes.
All right. So American League or National League baseball?
I'm National League.
NBA or NFL?
I'm going to say NFL.
Powerade or Gatorade?
Since I'm from Florida, I'm saying Gatorade. Go Gators.
Oh, that's interesting because that was my next question. Florida State or Florida Gators?
Gotta stay true.
Yeah, I'm a Gator.
All right. Sweet potato pie or pumpkin pie?
I'm going to say sweet potato pie.
Are you Droid or Team iPhone?
Sorry, can you say that again?
Android or Team iPhone?
Oh, I'm iPhone all the way.
All right. DC or Marvel?
I say Marvel.
Early mornings or late night?
Early mornings. I'm up every morning around 5:30.
Early starter, okay. All right, toilet paper over or under?
Over and under for what?
The toilet paper over or under?
Oh, probably under.
All right. And lastly, are you an Amazon Prime or a Netflix guy?
I'll probably say Amazon Prime.
All right.
Yeah.
All good answers. All good answers.
All right, sir. So let's get right into it then. Let's go ahead and talk about your background a little bit. I know we had some very significant dates pass us here recently. Let's touch on March 25th. I know that was a very, very influential day in your life. So tell us your story.
I walked out of the Kanawha. Well, I walked out of the South Central Regional Jail in Charleston, West Virginia at approximately, I'd say probably about 11:30 that morning. Yeah, that was the significance of April 1st. I came home after 27 years of false incarceration.
Wow. And I can tell just how still fresh
it is in your mind. I mean, those days, and obviously they're very important to you. And just for those that don't know your full story, I just kind of want to give it a little summary to give them some background. So it was in 1989, right, Jimmy, while you were working towards your business degree, that you were arrested and you were charged with two separate counts of robbery and sexual assault, as well as burglary and assault during the commission of a felony. And now, as you said, you did not commit those crimes. You have always, right. always maintained your innocence. You were put on trial back in January of 1990. So I want people to think about how long ago that was, just to kind of get a sense of how long you were locked up for being wrongfully accused. You were found guilty a month later in February 1990. And then, Jimmy, it's crazy. You were sentenced to 110 years in prison. And now, I don't want you to have to relive some of these moments, but just kind of take me back to that courtroom when you heard that sentencing go down. I mean, what was going through your mind after being a minor league baseball player, and then all of a sudden you're being sentenced to over 100 years in prison?
Well, first off, I didn't think I would get convicted because I didn't do the crime. So in my mind, you know, I was just trying to just give everything I could to be forthwith and forthcoming, and just show that I haven't done the crime. So here I find myself in the trial, and the trial lasts for maybe 5 days, and the jury deliberates for probably 4.5 days before they come back with the guilty verdict. And at that time, you know, it was like time stopped and everything just stood still. I still recall it freshly in my mind. It seemed like it was just yesterday. And when the jury found me guilty, you know, you heard me say, all I need is one mic. Because once I get that mic, I'm going to be able to tell my story and tell the story for those who don't have voices. And God blessed me out of the hellhole I was in and blessed me into a position where I actually had the opportunity to speak. And I actually had interviews in D.C. at the Human Rights Office, you know, Office on Human Rights in D.C. and also the office on the Mayor's Office on Returning Citizen Affairs. So I had interviews, and I was in the process of trying to get hired by either of those organizations. And I remember telling my friend, you know, I asked to be a speaker. I asked God to bring me home and let me be a speaker for all those years. And here I am, and I'm going to decline on these jobs, and I'm going to start just speaking. And I had to remember also that I asked God to deliver me into speaking, but I said that I would not charge anyone anything for 1 year. So I didn't set any prices or charge anything. I got love offerings and different donations and gifts, you know, that people wanted to give me, but I didn't charge anyone anything for a year. From that's like October of 2016 to October 2017. And so from that point, I've been, you know, my business is J.C. Gardner Speaks. That's my LLC. And I've been speaking, and I've had the opportunity to go back and speak in prisons throughout Georgia, Florida. I've been in prisons. I spoke of West Virginia, but not in actual prisons, at the centers, a couple of centers. But I actually had the opportunity to speak at schools, universities, Albany State University, Albany Technical University, UMBC, University of Maryland, Baltimore College, Georgetown University a number of times. I've spoken at a number of universities. I don't have them all on my mind right now. And I've also spoken at a lot of different churches, Mount Zion Church in Albany, Georgia. So many different churches I've spoken at. And I've just been able to speak at different functions, organizations. It's just been phenomenal. At terms,
what would you say to those who have been wrongly accused on how they can live a life, really, I guess, of positivity? Like, how are you able to turn it around and, you know, not feel any bitterness? I've never gotten a sense of bitterness or negativity from you. How are you able to do that?
Well, I want to set the record straight first. I had a lot of anger and bitterness, and I had rage in the beginning. You know, it's a process, and for people to see me today, this is just the product of going through and honing in and going through processes and just really a lot of crying and a whole lot of praying. This is, you know, this is the end result. This is what you get out of all the pain and misery and agony before. You know, it hasn't always been smiles completely. And I'll tell a short story. I went to what do you call it? Punitive segregation when I first went inside. And I went in for a couple of years. And that gave me an opportunity to get all that rage and anger and hatred out of me. because, you know, I got into a fight and you know, it turned a little violent. So I got a couple years in solitary confinement. But I had the opportunity to just start reading and studying and understanding who I am as a man and understanding that I have to take care of my mind, body, and soul in order for me to be able to do anything. You know, I want to get out of prison, but hey, I have to take care of myself while I'm in prison. So I had to change my entire thought process. And this is something, you know, I let individuals know. And in changing my thought process, I call it the Gardner way. You know, and I go from G-A-R-D-N-E-R, and I go through those steps, and I let people know this is how I did it. But I went through a lot, and I studied all the different faiths I could study, Islam. I studied the Hare Krishna, the Bhagavad Gita, the Hinduism, Buddhism, Catholicism, Judaism. You know, I studied all of the faiths, and I read, and I kept reading and trying to read all the positive information that can help me change my thought process. And by the grace of God, my thought process was changed, and I realized that if I kept on having negative thoughts and wanting to hurt people and have all type of bad thoughts, all that did was internalize. And that would affect my internal organs. That would affect me. Next thing you know, I got hypertension. I have different ailments within my body. All that does is it's toxic. So I realized by the grace of God that I had to get all that out. What goes in has to come out. And that can be food, that can be water, that can be thoughts, that can be anything. Everything that goes in has to come out. And if it doesn't, it becomes toxins within you. And I speak to people about that, even with relationships. You know, you have, if it's bad coming in, you got to make sure you get it out of there. You know, don't let it fester inside. But I went through that process, and I came off of lockdown, and I remember 1995, I had a change. And I really wanted to do some things. So I asked me and got a few other guys, Calvin and, you know, John and a lot of different guys. We got together, you know, my guys, Maurice, Ramel, Isaac, everybody, we got together. I said, hey, let's get Black History Month going in West Virginia, which had never been done before. So we actually started Black History Month along with like three or four different Black counselors in the institution. And then we started having other events. Next thing you know, we got fundraisers. Next thing you know, I'm helping create opportunities when guys die, we can have memorial services. Next thing you know, the older guys are getting older, so I'm putting proposals and petitions so these guys can actually stay in a place where they won't, you know, get trampled or walked over by these young guys, give them opportunities to stay in a safe place and have access at their leisure and just relax. You know, you got guys in prison that have been there for so long. And those guys, hold on. Okay. Those guys have been in prison for so long and those individuals have
and it shows through. Jimmy, I can't thank you enough for giving us some of your time. Again, everyone, you are listening to Jimmy C. Gardner of JC Gardner Speaks. Jimmy, before we let you go, can you drop your social media and your website to make sure our listeners can give you a follow?
Yes, you can look me up on my website. That's www.jcgardnerspeaks.com. You can look me up on Instagram at the hashtag JC Gardner Speaks, on Twitter at JC Gardner Speaks. I'm on Facebook with Jimmy C. Gardner. That's my personal page. That's J-I-M-M-I-E, middle initial C, last name G-A-R-D-N-E-R. Then I have a booking page on Facebook, and that booking page is JC Gardner Speaks. And I also have LinkedIn, and on my LinkedIn, I'm Jimmy C. Gardner. So there's a number of sites that you can go to look me up. I also have Gardner House Incorporated. And I want individuals to stay with me on this. You know, I have my EIC, I have all the information, but we're still in the process of getting this thing ironed out. And I want to provide opportunities for men and women coming home to transition back into life and be able to get housing, clothing, food, shelter. And I'm going to actually try to do that in West Virginia, at Beckley, West Virginia, and I'm going to try to do that right here in Albany, Georgia. I'm going to try to do some joining with others, or linking up, and do something for returning citizens right here in Albany, Georgia. And you guys stay tuned. God willing, I'm looking to do a podcast. I'm looking to put myself in a position to do a podcast so I can talk to individuals out there about experiencing their experiences inside, wrongfully or rightfully, and their families and loved ones, how they endured, and a number of other hot topics that I want to just bring to the panel. And I believe I'll be able to touch some lives in doing that.
Yeah, that is wonderful, Jimmy. We will continue to say Westbrook and his historic night.
Honestly, I thought it was an amazing, amazing moment, not only in sports, but just in pop culture, hip hop history. I'm a huge fan of Nipsey Hussle, so I definitely felt a little hurt by the whole situation that happened when it was a very unfortunate. He was a big part of the community, and for us to honor him in that way, pregame, during the game, and
with
post-game,
the outfit.
It just shows their connection that they had, as well as the connection that Nipsey had to his community in the Los Angeles area. Russell's always been a beast. For him to go to such historic heights in a symbolic way like that was just amazing and definitely goes down in history. Will Chamberlain is the only other person in the NBA to do something like that. For Russell Westbrook to be a 6'3 point guard doing something that a 7-footer did is just amazing to me.
He's spectacular. And I feel like he doesn't get the credit for it. I mean, I think because we know he's great, right? Like, this isn't his first triple-double season. But as you said, I mean, Russell Westbrook is a spectacular player. I know not everybody likes his antics, and some call him a ball hog and whatever else. He might be mad with the KD beef or whatever happened out there. But as a Russell Westbrook, he's just a stand-up guy. I think his tribute to Nipsey Hussle was so huge and big. And rest in peace. I think he said it so eloquently, right? But just so sad to see what happened. But if anything, I love all the tributes and outpouring of love. And I hope Lauren London is somewhere right now just seeing how much Nipsey was loved. And Russell Westbrook, what a perfect night to do it. And I love that he dedicated it to Nipsey Hussle. And I do have to say, you did say Wilt Chamberlain, but also we can't forget that he is now in line for his third consecutive season for averaging a triple-double along with Oscar Robertson, who was the only other player to compile such an average. So Russell Westbrook up there with the great of the game. Russell Westbrook, we give you props right here in Western and Canada. We'll have to have him on one day, Ray, to just talk about this spectacular season. But now staying in the basketball realm, I will switch it over to a league that Randall, you're a big fan of, the Big Three. They made news recently because CBS Sports, if you've got the channel in your case, season. I can't believe it's been that long, but they have an 11-week season. And of course, you guys can all watch the action on CBS. And the championship game, Ray, I hope we're there, will be on September 1st. So mark your calendars. And of course, the Big Three draft will be live on May 1st when 120 players will try to go for only 31 open roster spots on 12 teams. 12 teams. So it should be good. It should be good. All right, Ray. So we talked about basketball. We gave love to all the Hoops fans. And of course, we're going to continue to do it because, yes, with March just passing and now we're in April, we have to talk about some of the biggest news to come out of college basketball and John Calipari. John, oh my gosh, Ray, Kentucky offered this man a lifetime contract. That's right, you guys heard me, a lifetime contract. So as long as he's breathing, to stay the basketball coach at Kentucky, the deal would be a combination of a head coaching extension and a paid role as an ambassador after he retires. Okay, so John is basically doing everything. So that being said, right, you hear this news. We've watched Kentucky basketball now for a while, and yes, we know how dominant they've been. We can name a lot of great players that came out of Kentucky, if they're one and done or not. But that being said, is this well-deserved? Does he deserve that type of contract? Or do you feel like the other top coaches in the NCAA missed out?
I think John Calipari definitely deserves it. The salary he's getting is a lot higher than a lot of NBA coaches as well. So that was pretty much he's reached the peak of his sport. The only other option for him would to be most likely to go to the league, but now he has no reason to go do that. He's comfortable where he is. He's done a lot for Kentucky. Granted, the one and done may be a big influence part as far as him going, but he's also been a great recruit of these players as well to get them to come to Kentucky. So he's well-deserved. Kentucky's comfortable with him, so why not give him and lock him down for as long as possible, which is a lifetime deal. So it makes perfect sense for both sides.
Do you think this is going to kind of be the new standard for those iconic coaches, our Coach K's, our Roy Williams of the world? Your thoughts on that, Ray?
I agree, man. It's got to be some type of system we can create to play the athletes. It's going to be tough because you got to figure out which sport you're going to pay, what, which players on the team are you going to play what. Like, it's very hard to figure it out because at different schools, different sports generate different amounts of money. So there's got to be some type of way to figure it out to where everybody can get a piece of something. I don't know if there's some type of formula they can come up, some type of algorithm to where they can figure out the percentages, but it's got to be a way to make this more appealing to the players and to make it more fair because they're the ones earning the money for the most part, especially like someone like Zion.
Right. They had a Zion camera, right? They had a camera just for this guy on PBS. Like, don't tell me you can't pay the players. I'm sorry. But again, congrats to John. We will continue with this great show right after the quick commercial break. Stay tuned.
It's time to recognize those individuals that are doing good in the community and making a difference in the sports world. Without further ado, Kelsey presents this week's Do Good Sportsperson Award nominee.
Welcome back to Listen In with KNN, the sports town of the district and beyond, where it's now time for my Kelsey's Do Good segment, where I want to pay love and I want to tribute the Special Olympics. Now, the Special Olympics has been in the news probably for at least the last 2 weeks, of course, because last week it was President Donald Trump who said he would rescind, actually, a $17.6 million cut to the Special Olympics from his proposed budget to Congress. Now, of course, there was a lot of uproar when it was talking about cutting money from these athletes who pour out everything and these athletes who have disabilities, both adults and children. I'm for never cutting money from these funding programs. I speak as someone who had an uncle with Down syndrome and who loves sports. I would never touch a dime of the Special Olympics money. And if you've ever seen the Special Olympics, you would see exactly why I say that and why I'm so passionate about it. But it's something that's very vital and very important. And I think 16 seasons, but during this time, the Wizards compiled a 568-724 record, and they made 8 trips to the playoffs, but we all know where those ended up. But that being said, Ray, so Ernie Grunfeld, we're finally done with him. We know
Washington has never made it past the second round of the playoffs, and they've never won at least 50 games in a season.
How in the world, Ray, was Ernie Grunfeld able to keep his job for so long here in Washington?
You got to look at Ted Leonis. He's been very generous in regards to keeping his faith and not
to say the least.
not one to break that thing up. I think that's great on his ownership. It shows that he was dedicated and gave his guy an opportunity to make mistakes and try to fix them. So you can't really knock him for that or Grunfeld for that, because Grunfeld was making choices. Some of them didn't quite work out the way they should have, but I don't feel as though he made terrible moves. I thought him bringing in Jeff Green, Dwight Howard, and Austin Rivers this summer was going to be a huge
deal. But Ray, what happened with that? Dwight Howard's injured. He's injured.
Yeah, that's the thing, but you can't predict injury.
We knew he wasn't going to do anything, right?
Why is that?
I'm sorry. I'm passionate.
Dwight
about
Howard had a good season last year, though, so I don't agree.
He had a decent season. Let's not forget that he has not been okay. Like, we knew he wasn't going to be Superman. I get that, but Dwight Howard, I just feel like the problem is right. My problem with Ernie Grunfeld raised the big contract that he gave out, and that's why the Wizards will not be able to bring in a superstar player. And yes, I understand, like, he's brought in big names. Like, we had the Gilbert Arenas there. We had Caron Butler, Antoine Jameson, John Wall, and of course now Bradley Beal. But just the contract he gave to Otto Porter. We have Jan Mahimi, who's not even a factor right now. And then even some people, of course, didn't agree with the Kelly Oubre trade out to Arizona. But that being said, Ray, I forgot. We don't have a second-round draft pick because Grunfeld traded away. So the Wizards really don't have anything.
That was kind of
That's what happens when you have money.
Yeah.
He'll be fine. Like you said, that's maybe the one moment you can kind of chuckle at, but I hated it because there were reports that the Memphis team, players actually had to come back to their hotel after the news came down, and they actually had their personal items waiting for them in the lobby. That's right. They got kicked out of their rooms, and supposedly some are saying they even had to pay for their rooms. Ridiculous. And they're saying that the amount of money owed to vendors and venues in San Antonio for training camp is over the $4 million mark. And there's also reports that one player actually had a broken arm recently. And now that the league is defunct, guess what? That meant his insurance goes with it. So that's right. We're leaving players now in just conditions that it's horrible. So I guess the nicest way I can put this is that, yes, it was something new. There is a professional minor football league that has been around, but of course the NFL has not. The NFL has yet to find a minor league system that they actually endorse. But I say this to say this. I think we have to be very, very, very careful, because I think everyone's not thinking about the players that are affected by this, and their lives are now, like, drastically changed. Like, right, last week they were playing in games and, you know, probably having their family, like, look at the next schedule they're going to come to and thinking they're set on their bills. And now this week they're trying to find how to pay for their bills, how to support their families. This guy has to figure out how to pay his medical bill. So it's just bad. It's just bad. And I hate how it happened. And it seemed like the owners are kind of just like, well, it happened. But I guess if I was rich, too, I could do that. But I just really worried about all the different players that were in this league, and now, you know, they have nothing, essentially, since the league is defunct, and now they're left with the Bills. So shame on the Alliance for just how they came to that decision, and I feel like they left the players in limbo, and I just hate seeing that, Ray, personally.
I agree.
Just tough. But, woo, okay, we have to go to better news, because I don't want to depress our listeners, Ray, so we will go
to Auburn, just because, like I said, I'm riding that bandwagon. They have a lot of exciting athletes on the team. They suffered a huge injury. Hopefully that injury doesn't affect them too much in the Final Four, but I'm going to ride with them. They got the hot hand right now, so that's the wave I'm riding with.
I do like Auburn, as you said. They lost a key player, but I think that also brings the team closer together, because, of course, the next man has to step up, and now you really have someone you're playing for. I'm like you. I would love to see Charles Barkley reaction. I don't have Auburn winning at all, but I'm truly glad they got there, probably as happy as Charles Barkley is. But being a DMV girl, I am rooting for Virginia. And I actually think Virginia has looked good in the last couple of seasons, but as we know, they always have a hiccup. But this year, for them to get to the Final Four, I want them to make it to the championship game. Now, I don't think they'll be cutting down the nets at the end, because I think that'll be Michigan State. I have them beating Texas Tech. I do like Texas Tech defensively. Offensively, I think they're going to really have to rely on their defense to get those offensive points. But against the Michigan State team, it depends how they play. But if they come out and play like they did against Duke, they're in trouble, Texas Tech. So I think we're in for a good championship. I do like that we have different teams this year. I'm not for anyone dominating as much as, you know, it's nice to continue that legacy. I'm only for a team dominating, Ray, if it's my Maryland Terrapins. Hopefully one day we can continue to hoist that trophy, but no time soon, it seems like. Sorry, Terp fans, but I'm looking forward to the Final Four. And, of course, all the action, as Ray said, will go down Saturday. And you'll have to check out our brackets on the next show, Ray. We're going to have to reveal our brackets and let people know who is the winner. So our fans,
you probably
can know.
Didn't reveal your bracket. Your bracket.
I knew you were going to throw shade. Ray always has to throw some type of shade in the show, so I gave you 30 seconds of shade fame.
I wasn't even going to say it. I was like, he just was picking things by his favorite color.
There we go. See, he always tries to make stuff better, but no, it was truly and purely shade. But it's okay, Ray. For our fans, also tweet us. We are on social media at Listening with K&M. Let us know your bracket picks. Let us know your Final Four picks, and who's gonna go.
And be able to also just give people more insight to who I am, and just insight to just how things are in life and et cetera.
All right. And before we go any further, I just want to start off with a little icebreaker game we like to do just to get everybody a little warmed up and loosened up. We call this game This or That. Very simple game where you pick one or the other. You ready to go?
Yes.
All right. So American League or National League baseball?
I'm National League.
NBA or NFL?
I'm going to say NFL.
Powerade or Gatorade?
Since I'm from Florida, I'm saying Gatorade. Go Gators.
Oh, that's interesting, because that was my next question. Florida State or Florida Gators?
Gotta stay true.
Yeah, I'm a Gator.
All right. Sweet potato pie or pumpkin pie?
I'm going to say sweet potato pie.
Are you Droid or Team iPhone?
Sorry, can you say that again?
Android or Team iPhone?
Oh, I'm iPhone all the way.
All right. DC or Marvel?
I say Marvel.
Early mornings or late night?
Early mornings. I'm up every morning around 5:30.
Early starter, okay. All right, toilet paper over or under?
Over and under for what?
The toilet paper over or under?
Oh, probably under.
All right. And lastly, are you an Amazon Prime or a Netflix guy?
I'll probably say Amazon Prime.
All right.
Yeah.
All good answers. All good answers.
All right.
All right, sir. So let's get right into it then. Let's go ahead and talk about your background a little bit. I know we had some very significant dates pass us here recently. Let's touch on March 25th. I know that was a very, very influential day in your life. So tell us your story.
Yes, March 25th, 2016 is the date that I received the order from Judge Joseph R. Goodwin, United States District Court Judge for the Southern District of West Virginia. And that order was actually vacating my sentence and remanding me back for either a trial or to be immediately released. So that was March 25th, 2016. And I got the call at approximately 9:15, 9:20 in the morning from my attorney. And the joyful thing about this is I never went into the courthouse prior to me being released. I never went into the federal court, and I stayed in federal court for 46 months, which was, a little long federal court, but I never went into the courthouse or the courtroom.
Wow. And just staying on the importance of important dates in your life, Jimmy, and again, thank you so much for coming on and sharing your story with our listening audience. I know April 1st is also very influential to you. I know to many around the world, of course, it's April Fool's Day, but that day to you is something meaningful and something special. Can you explain the importance of that anniversary date?
Yes, April 1st, 2016, exactly 1 week after my March 25th ruling, and it was on a Friday, I went to Kanawha County Circuit Court for either to have my charges dismissed with prejudice or either be retried by the prosecution in the state of West Virginia. And on this date, the prosecution decided to retry me on all charges, and I was afforded the opportunity to get a bond. So the judge asked my mother, Miss Gladys Gardner, she asked her, Miss Gardner, tell us, what kind of bond could you make? And my mother said, well, I think I can make a $10,000 bond. So Judge Joanna Tabbitt set the bond at $10,000. And I walked out of the Kanawha, I walked out of the South Central Regional Jail in Charleston, West Virginia, at approximately, I'd say probably about 11:30 that morning. Yeah, and that was the significance of April 1st. I came home after 27 years of false incarceration.
Wow. And I can tell just how still fresh it is in your mind. I mean, those days, and obviously they're very important to you. And just for those that don't know your full story, I just kind of want to give it a little summary to give them some background. So it was in 1989, right, Jimmy, while you were working towards your business degree, that you were arrested and you were charged with two separate counts of robbery and sexual assault, as well as burglary and assault during the commission of a felony. And now, as you said, you did not commit those crimes. You have always, right, always, always maintained your innocence. You were put on trial back in January of 1990. So I want people to think about how long ago that was, just to kind of get a sense of how long you were locked up for being wrongfully accused. You were found guilty a month later in February 1990. And then, Jimmy, it's crazy, you were sentenced to 110 years in prison. And now, I don't want you to have to relive some of these moments, but just kind of take me back to that courtroom when you heard that sentencing go down. I mean, what was going through your mind after being a minor league baseball player, and then all of a sudden you're being sentenced to over 100 years in prison?
Well, first off, I didn't think I would get convicted because I didn't do the crime. So in my mind, I was just trying to just give everything I could to be forthwith and forthcoming, and just show that I haven't done the crime. So here I find myself in the trial, and the trial lasts for maybe 5 days, and the jury deliberates for probably 4.5 days before they come back with the guilty verdict. And at that time, it was like time stopped and everything just stood still. I still recall it freshly in my mind. It seemed like it was just yesterday. And when the jury found me guilty, you know, you heard wails in the courtroom, my mother, my grandmother, a few other people. And, you know, I kind of shouted out to them, you know, don't let them see you cry, you know, hold it. And I did my best to hold back tears and until I got over in my cell. And it's ironic because as soon as I got back to the jail, the Kanawha County Jail, someone had ramshacked my cell and stole my folder, took my wow. address book and my phone numbers and my photos. I mean, it was just horrible. So that was adding, you know, assault to the injury. So that was a mm-hmm. rough day for me. That was a very, very rough day. And, you know, I don't mind talking about it because it keeps me focused and aware of the fact that you can't ever forget what you've been through, you know, and I don't forget what I've been through. And I just always, I'm thankful to God for where I'm at and for bringing me through the ordeal. And I'm healthy mentally, physically, and spiritually today. And I'm just blessed and thankful.
All right, Jimmy, can you do us a favor and just touch on your transition into being the inspirational speaker / motivational speaker that you've become with such a straight, strong story?
Okay, since I've been home, I came home and I actually was going to get retried by the prosecution. So I went 5 months preparing for another trial. So I went from April to September the 7th, preparing for a trial. 2 days before trial, the state of West Virginia dismissed all charges with prejudice. And at that point in time, I wanted to have a job. I wanted to work. But I recall asking God when I was in prison, God, please bless me home and bless me with the opportunity to get the microphone and speak and tell the world what you brought me out of and how I endured throughout this process. And I just wanted the mic, you know, even back in early 2000s, I remember the guy Nas, the singer Nas, saying, all I need is one mic. I used to say, all I need is one mic, because once I get that mic, I'm going to be able to tell my story and tell the story for those who don't have voices. And God blessed me out of the hellhole I was in and blessed me into a position where I actually had the opportunity to speak. And I actually had interviews in D.C. at the Human Rights Office. You know, Office on Human Rights in D.C. and also the office on the Mayor's Office on Return to Citizen Affairs. So I had interviews and I was in the process of trying to get hired by either of those organizations. And I remember telling my friend, you know, I asked to be a speaker. I asked God to bring me home and let me be a speaker for all those years. And here I am. And I'm going to decline on these jobs and I'm going to start just speaking. And I had to remember also that I asked God to deliver me into speaking, but I said that I would not charge anyone anything for 1 year. So I didn't set any prices or charge anything. I got love offerings and different donations and gifts, you know, that people wanted to give me, but I didn't charge anyone anything for a year. From that's like October of 2016 to October 2017. And so from that point, I've been, you know, my business is J.C. Gardner Speaks. That's my LLC. And I've been speaking, and I've had the opportunity to go back and speak in prisons throughout Georgia, Florida. I've been in prisons. I spoke of West Virginia, but not in actual prisons, at the centers, a couple of centers. But I actually had the opportunity to speak at schools, universities, Albany State University, Albany Technical University, UMBC, University of Maryland, Baltimore College, Georgetown University a number of times. I've spoken at a number of universities. I don't have them all on my mind right now. And I've also spoken at a lot of different churches, Mount Zion Church in Albany, Georgia. So many different churches I've spoken at. And I've just been able to speak at different functions, organizations. It's just been phenomenal. At Turner Job Corps in Albany, Georgia, I've spoken a number of times. I've just been so blessed. And I want the world to know that, you know, if you're sincere in your request and you put your mind to doing everything it takes for you to attain your objective and your goal, God will see you through. And it's just been a wonderful time for me. You know, I speak, and I just got rebranded with my J.C. Gardner Speaks, my organization. I'm going through that transition. So, you know, I'm just getting back on Facebook after a 6-month ordeal where somebody hacked me. So I'm back relevant and doing my purposeful thing. And not to mention, you know, I got married in November of last year to my beautiful wife, Leslie Abrams Gardner.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And, you know, it's just given me a lot more stability as far as being able to have a great partner by my side and someone that I can, you know, just rely upon, and she relies upon me, and we're striving to do nothing but the best. So it's just been a blessing. The blessings just keep coming. What you put out, you get back.
And Jimmy, to follow up with that, you spoke about how you had a lot of travels and you had not spoken at your previous prison. If you were to be invited back there, what would you say to some of the people that you used to live with and that you may still have relationships with?
I speak often to some of my friends still in prison, John Moss. I speak to David Rapp. I speak to Odell Morgan. I speak to various guys in prison. You know, so many, I can't name them all. I speak to my guy, John Collins, in federal prison. I speak to many individuals throughout prison. But if I had the opportunity to go back into Mount Olive Correctional Complex or either Huttonsville Correctional Center or either Northern Correctional Center, these are institutions that I was at throughout my incarceration, you know, I would welcome that. And I would also welcome going back and telling those guys not to give up, never give up, never give up hope, keep going. You know, it took me 27 years, and hopefully it won't take them 27. If they have surpassed 27, God willing, they'll still be able to stay healthy, remain healthy mentally, physically, and spiritually, and be able to go through the ordeal and come home healthy and be able to do things in life that I'm doing similarly. You know, I just tell people, you know, I'm nothing of an anomaly. People say, well, you're an anomaly. I'm nothing of an anomaly. I believe I'm just as human and plain and simple as anyone else. And I just believe that what we put our minds to as human beings, I believe if we conceive and believe, we will achieve. And that's my slogan. And I call it the C, B, and the A. And that's conceive, believe, and achieve. And I do that, and I say that, and I speak on that wholeheartedly because I know that it worked for me and it can work for others. But you got to believe in yourself, and you got to have that higher power belief. That's my story.
I'm so inspired, Jimmy, just listening to you concede, believe, and achieve. And then having had the chance to actually listen to you in person when we actually first met back at Wild Lake Middle School in Columbia, Maryland, I was so touched. And then seeing Jimmy, all the families and these middle schoolers just soak up your word. And I mean, none of us can obviously imagine being in your shoes. But the way you're able to just positively tell your story and resonate with so many, and it just comes to my mind, Jimmy, because we see on the news all the time people who have been wrongfully accused, right? And sometimes we see some of the settlements that they get or the money that they're awarded. And I think society thinks like that's like a quick thing and that, you know, it's easy to, you know, forgive and forget. But for most people, I would say that's probably hard. I think most people out there could probably be with me and say, like, I don't know if I could be, you know, just a pleasant person to be around if I had been wrongfully accused and jailed essentially for 27 years. But I say that to say, I mean, what message would you say to those who have been wrongly accused on how they can live a life really, I guess, of positivity? Like, how are you able to turn it around and, you know, not feel any bitterness? I've never gotten a sense of bitterness or negativity from you. How are you able to do that?
Well, I want to set the record straight first. I had a lot of anger and bitterness, and I had rage in the beginning. You know, it's a process, and for people to see me today, this is just the product of going through and honing in and going through processes and just really a lot of crying and a whole lot of praying. This is this is the end result. This is what you get out of all the pain and misery and agony before. You know, it hasn't always been smiles completely. And I'll tell a short story. I went to what do you call it, punitive segregation when I first went inside. And I went in for a couple of years. And that gave me an opportunity to get all that rage and anger and hatred out of me, because, you know, I got into a fight and you know, it turned a little violent. So I got a couple of years in solitary confinement. But I had the opportunity to just start reading and studying and understanding who I am as a man, and understanding that I have to take care of my mind, body, and soul in order for me to be able to do anything. You know, I want to get out of prison, but hey, I have to take care of myself while I'm in prison. So I had to change my entire thought process. And this is something, you know, I let individuals know. And in changing my thought process, I call it the Gardner way. You know, and I go from G-A-R-D-N-E-R, and I go through those steps, and I let people know this is how I did it. But I went through a lot, and I studied all of the different faiths I could study, Islam. I studied the Hare Krishna, the Bhagavad-Gita, the Hinduism, Buddhism, Catholicism, Judaism. You know, I studied all of the faiths, and I read, and I kept reading and trying to read all the positive information that can help me change my thought process. And by the grace of God, my thought process was changed, and I realized that if I kept on having negative thoughts and wanting to hurt people and have all type of bad thoughts, all that did was internalize. And that would affect my internal organs. That would affect me. Next thing you know, I got hypertension. I have different ailments within my body. All that does is it's toxic. So I realized by the grace of God that I had to get all that out. What goes in has to come out. And that can be food, that can be water, that can be thoughts, that can be anything. Everything that goes in has to come out. And if it doesn't, it becomes toxins within you. And I speak to people about that, even with relationships. You know, if it's bad coming in, you got to make sure you get it out of there. You know, don't let it fester inside. But I went through that process, and I came off of lockdown. And I remember 1995, I had a change. And I really wanted to do some things. So I asked me and got a few other guys, Calvin and, you know, John and a lot of different guys. We got together, you know, my guys, Maurice, Ramel, Isaac, everybody, we got together. I said, hey, let's get Black History Month going in West Virginia, which had never been done before. So we actually started Black History Month along with like three or four different Black counselors in the institution. And then we started having other events. Next thing you know, we got fundraising. Next thing you know, I'm helping create opportunities when guys die, we can have memorial services. Next thing you know, the older guys are getting older, so I'm putting proposals and petitions so these guys can actually stay in a place where they won't, you know, get trampled or walked over by these young guys, give them opportunities to stay in a safe place and have access at their leisure and just relax. You know, you got guys in prison that have been there for so long. And those guys, hold on. Okay. Those guys have been in prison for so long, and those individuals have gotten old, and they're not in a position to really fend for themselves. And in prison, you have individuals that will prey on you, and they don't care about age. They don't care about different disabilities. And that's just, you know, that's just what it is. So I did everything in my power to try to change the norms and the ways of the prison. Even going into the residential substance abuse and treatment program, where everyone would say, I'm not going in that because that's this and that's that. And I would recommend the guys go into the residential substance abuse and treatment program, because that's where you can make a positive change. And ironically, I made another change in 2009 in the RSAT, residential substance abuse and treatment program. And I hold on to that today. And I, you know, I go to NAAA classes. Because, you know, I smoked weed back in the day, and unlike President Obama, you know, and I mean President Bill Clinton, I inhale. Yes. But, you know, I want to say this. You know, marijuana was my drug of choice, but I haven't smoked weed since 1991. I didn't like alcohol, so I stayed away from alcohol altogether. But I tell people, you know, once you become committed to getting better and changing, you can do that. So all, you know, different addictions and addicts out there, you know, we live day by day, you know, just for today. And I still attend meetings and all that. And I attend those meetings because it keeps me mentally on point. It makes me remember where I came from and how you can easily fall and slide and get back. And as well as I keep in my hand every day, stay humble. And there's a group of individuals, police officers, reverends, deacons, all these guys in Charleston, West Virginia, and we text each other every day. I miss sometimes, but every day I get the opportunity, we text each other, stay humble. And in doing that, we keep ourselves cognizant that at any moment we can slip, but we got a team of individuals that are there to keep each other lifted up. And that's just a positive thing. I'm about being mm-hmm. a positive thing. Yeah.
And it shows through. Jimmy, I can't thank you enough for giving us some of your time. Again, everyone, you are listening to Jimmy C. Gardner of J.C. Gardner Speaks. Jimmy, before we let you go, can you drop your social media and your website to make sure our listeners can give you a follow?
Yes, you can look me up on my website. That's www.jcgardnerspeaks.com. You can look me up on Instagram at the hashtag JC Gardner Speaks, on Twitter at JC Gardner Speaks. I'm on Facebook with Jimmy C. Gardner. That's my personal page. That's JIMMIE, middle initial C, last name GARDNER. Then I have a booking page on Facebook, and that booking page is JC Gardner Speaks. And I also have LinkedIn, and on my LinkedIn, I'm Jimmy C. Gardner. So there's a number of sites that you can go to look me up. I also have Gardner House Incorporated. And I want individuals to stay with me on this. You know, I have my EIC, I have all the information, but we're still in the process of getting this thing ironed out. And I want to provide opportunities for men and women coming home to transition back into life and be able to get housing, clothing, food, shelter. And I'm going to actually try to do that in West Virginia, that's Beckley, West Virginia, and I'm going to try to do that right here in Albany, Georgia. I'm going to try to do some joining with others or linking up and do something for returning citizens right here in Albany, Georgia. And you guys stay tuned. God willing, I'm looking to do a podcast. I'm looking to put myself in a position to do a podcast so I can talk to individuals out there about experiencing their experiences inside, wrongfully or rightfully, and their families and loved ones, how they endured, and a number of other hot topics that I want to just bring to the panel. And I believe I'll be able to touch some lives in doing that.
Yeah, that is wonderful, Jimmy. We will continue to stay connected with you again. Thank you so much for blessing us with your presence right here on Listen In with KNN.
Can I say one more thing?
Yeah, go ahead.
I apologize for not mentioning the Wild Lake Middle School students that I spoke to, and I enjoyed that. And those are the greatest students. And I want to tell all of those young ladies and men that I'm proud of them. You guys keep on doing good and just excelling and allowing yourself to reach your plateau and destiny in what you're going to do in life. Just be the best at whatever you do.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Jimmy. We truly appreciate your time.
Oh, you're welcome.
Ray, wow. It was a blast to have Jimmy C. Gardner on the show. And I want you to give a quick drop real quick. If you want to hear more insightful, inspiring interviews like that, you've got to download and subscribe to this very show, Listen In with KNN on iTunes and Google Play. Yes, love for the iTunes, for the iPod, I'm sorry, for the iPhones and Android lovers. So please be sure to download and subscribe to the show. All right, Ray, let's now get to sports around the nation where I'm sure you'll like this one, but Russell Westbrook just continues, Ray, to make waves because, yes, he's Russell Westbrook, but if you didn't see it the other night, he had a 20-20-20 night. Yes, a triple-double in which he actually gave love to Nipsey Hussle. Of course, they have that California connection. If you watch the game, it just happened with over 40 seconds left to play when the Oklahoma City Thunder were playing the lottery-bound Los Angeles Lakers. Yes, sorry, Lake Show, but it's been a tough season. But that's when Russell Westbrook, he went up and grabbed the rebound. And the crowd, of course, went crazy and gave him love and a standing ovation. But Russell Westbrook, it just seems like he continues to play out of his mind, Ray. This is nothing new for him. I mean, he's been doing this for a while, it seems like. And, of course, he now joins Wilt Chamberlain, who had 22 points, 25 rebounds and 21 assists on February 2nd back in 1968. It's crazy and ridiculous. Ray, what are your thoughts on Russell Westbrook and his historic night?
honestly, I thought it was an amazing moment, not only in sports, but just in pop culture, hip hop history. I'm a huge fan of Nipsey Hussle, so I definitely felt a little hurt by the whole situation that happened when it was a very unfortunate. He was a big part of the community, and for us to honor him in that way, pregame, during the game, and
with
postgame,
the outfit.
Yeah,
it just shows their connection that they had, as well as the connection that Nipsey had to his community in the Los Angeles area. Russell's always been a beast. For him to go to such historic heights in a symbolic way like that was just amazing, and definitely goes down in history. Will Chamberlain is the only other person in the NBA to do something like that. For Russell Westbrook to be a 6'3 point guard doing something that a 7-footer did is just amazing to me. So
he's spectacular. I feel like he doesn't get the credit for it. I mean, I think because we know he's great, right? Like, this isn't his first triple-double season. But as you said, I mean, Russell Westbrook is a spectacular player. I know not everybody likes his antics, and some call him a ball hog and whatever else. He might be mad with the KD beef or whatever happened out there. But as the Russell Westbrook, he's just a stand-up guy. I think his tribute to Nipsey Hussle was so huge and big. And rest in peace. I think he said it so eloquently, right? But just so sad to see what happened. But if anything, I love all the tributes and outpouring of love. And I hope Lauren London is somewhere right now just seeing how much Nipsey was loved. And Russell Westbrook, what a perfect night to do it. And I love that he dedicated it to Nipsey Hussle. And I do have to say, you did say Wilt Chamberlain, but also we can't forget that he is now in line for his third consecutive season for averaging a triple-double, along with Oscar Robertson, who was the only other player to compile such an average. So Russell Westbrook up there with the greats of the game. Russell Westbrook, we give you props
right here listening with Hannah.
We'll have to have him on one day, Ray, to just talk about this spectacular season. But now, staying in the basketball realm, I will switch it over to a league that Randall, you're a big fan of, the Big Three. They made news recently because CBS Sports, if you've got the channel in your cable package, you'll soon be getting to watch Big Three games because the Professional 3-on-3 Basketball League, which was of course founded by Ice Cube, has now agreed to an exclusive deal for live broadcast of the Big Three's 2019 season. The games will be shown on CBS and CBS Sports Network. That being said, Ray, how big of this is it for the Big Three League and Ice Cube to now really be, I would say, in all homes?
I think this is going to be huge. Big Three, you know, I'm a big advocate for the Big Three. There's been a lot of great players joining the Big Three this upcoming season. You got Gilbert Arenas coming in.
Agent Zero.
Yeah, he's gonna bring a lot of fan viewership to the game. Just from people loving him as the Instagram person and also following him as a basketball player in the league, he's gonna bring a lot of his fans with him. You've got a lot of players that are just now recently retiring coming into the league. Joe Johnson, who was just on the Houston Rockets team last year. Got Josh Smith, one of the great players from the Atlanta Hawks. So there's a lot of quality players coming in ever since they dropped the age limit down from 30 to 27. So it's been an influx of talent coming into the league. So it was only right that they got on a bigger platform being CBS. And I think I can see this league definitely taking off to a higher ceiling this next coming season. So I'm very excited. I definitely want to make sure I get to a couple games this year.
Yeah, we'll have to give some press coverage. And as their motto says, we're changing the game, and they truly are. I think it's huge. They continue to bring in the talent. I mean, it really is. It seems like, I'll say the third option, right? You can go to G League if you're younger. You can play in the pros in the NBA if you're really skilled and talented. And guess what? You don't have to stop there. Now you have a league that still brings you quality basketball after your playing career. So Ice Cube was on to something, and I think how perfect, because if you remember, and we'll talk about it later, but the Alliance of American Football was actually on CBS and CBS Sports Network. But now that they're defunct, it was kind of the perfect opportunity because obviously it seems like CBS wanted to fill those hours. And so now Ice Cube League has stepped up, and obviously it's been proven to work because the league is in its third season. I can't believe it's been that long, but they have an 11-week season. And, of course, you guys can all watch the action on CBS. And the championship game, Ray, I hope we're there, will be on September 1st. So mark your calendars. And, of course, the Big Three draft will be live on May 1st when 120 players will try to go for only 31 open roster spots on 12 teams. 12 teams. So it should be good. It should be good. All right, Ray. So we talked about basketball. We gave love to all the Hoops fans. And, of course, we're going to continue to do it because, yes, with March just passing and now we're in April, we have to talk about some of the biggest news to come out of college basketball and John Calipari. John, oh my gosh, Ray, Kentucky offered this man a lifetime contract. That's right, you guys heard me, a lifetime contract. So as long as he's breathing to stay the basketball coach at Kentucky, the deal would be a combination of a head coaching extension and a paid role as an ambassador after he retires. Okay, so John is basically doing everything. So that being said, right, you hear this news. We've watched Kentucky basketball now for a while, and yes, we know how dominant they've been. We can name a lot of great players that came out of Kentucky, if they're one and done or not. But that being said, is this well-deserved? Does he deserve that type of contract? Or do you feel like the other top coaches in the NCAA missed out?
I think John Calipari definitely deserves it. The salary he's getting is a lot higher than a lot of NBA coaches as well. So that was pretty much he's reached the peak of his sport. The only other option for him would to be most likely to go to the league, but now he has no reason to go do that. He's comfortable where he is. He's done a lot for Kentucky. Granted, the one and done may be a big influence part as far as him going, but he's also been a great recruit of these players as well to get them to come to Kentucky. So he's well-deserved. Kentucky's comfortable with him, so why not give him and lock him down for as long as possible, which is a lifetime deal. So it makes perfect sense on both sides.
Do you think this is going to kind of be the new standard for those iconic coaches, our Coach K's, our Roy Williams of the world, or do you think it'll kind of be something that's just to Coach John?
When you speak of, you know, the Roy Williams and Coach K, those are the guys that you would expect to get these type of deals. But outside of those top guys, and maybe the coach from Michigan State, I don't really see a lot of other coaches getting these deals because those four guys are pretty much the main guys that win all the time. You might even want to throw Villanova's, I believe his name, Jay Wright. May want to throw him in there as well. But outside of those five, I can't really see any other coach getting a deal like this. College basketball is very fragile. A lot of players come and go. So it's great to have the continuity of the same coach, but when some of these smaller schools can't afford to give that much power to one person. So I don't really see it becoming a trend.
That's what's always interesting. And, of course, now his current contract runs through 2024. So, Kentucky fans, I mean, you get to rest easy, Wildcats. But he is the highest-paid basketball coach in the entire country with a total compensation of $9.2 million just this year. And that's according to USA Today Sports database.
Now, he also had a retention bonus reportedly of $2.6 million in each of the next 3 July.
So this man is getting paid, as we like to call it. But I mean, John, he's done his job. Nobody can say he has not done his job. I think he's a fabulous coach. I'm not giving anybody a lifetime contract, though. I'm sorry. And I know the whole thing with UCLA contacting him about the open head coaching job probably helped that, especially since they wanted to give him $48 million over 6 years. But like you said, those other iconic coaches, I don't know, Ray. I'm not for giving anybody a lifetime contract. I know we see the big contracts in baseball, but it's just not me. I'm just not that type of girl, I guess. But I have to give salute to John. But I will say real quick, it does make me think about, again, why can we not pay these athletes, but we can continue to give these coaches money. Obviously, there's plenty of money to go around. So I think the NCAA is going to be a question that continues to come up. And when someone, I think, finds a model that is proven to work and is fair, I think eventually the NCAA is going to have to do something because we keep seeing the rich getting richer and the athletes staying broke. Your thoughts on that, Ray?
I agree, man. It's got to be some type of system we can create to pay the athletes. It's going to be tough because you got to figure out which sport you're going to pay, which players on the team are going to play what. Like, it's very hard to figure it out because at different schools, different sports generate different amounts of money. So there's got to be some type of way to figure it out to where everybody can get a piece of something. I don't know if there's some type of formula that can come up, some type of algorithm to where they can figure out the percentages, but it's got to be a way to make this more appealing to the players and to make it more fair because they're the ones earning the money for the most part, especially someone like Zion.
Right. They had a Zion camera, right? They had a camera just for this guy on PBS. Like, don't tell me you can't pay the players. I'm sorry. But again, congrats to John. We will continue with this great show right after the quick commercial break. Stay tuned.
It's time to recognize those individuals that are doing good in the community and making a difference in the sports world. Without further ado, Kelsey presents this week's Do Good Sportsperson Award nominee.
Welcome back to Listen In with K&N, the sports town of the district and beyond, where it's now time for my Kelsey's Do Good segment, where I want to pay love and I want to tribute the Special Olympics. Now, the Special Olympics has been in the news probably for at least the last 2 weeks, of course, because last week it was President Donald Trump who said he would rescind, actually, a $17.6 million cut to the Special Olympics from his proposed budget to Congress. Now, of course, there was a lot of uproar when it was talking about cutting money from these athletes who pour out everything and these athletes who have disabilities, both adults and children. I'm for never cutting money from these funding programs. I speak as someone who had an uncle with Down syndrome and who loves sports. I would never touch a dime of the Special Olympics money. And if you've ever seen the Special Olympics, you would see exactly why I say that and why I'm so passionate about it. But it's something that's very vital and very important. And I think for my Do Good segment, I just want to shout out everyone who supports the Special Olympics, everyone who is involved, who volunteers. And of course, I want to give love to the athletes for just being the great human beings that they are. Ray, your thoughts on the Special Olympics and all of the news happening lately?
Yeah, definitely. The Special Olympics should be something that should not be messed with. You've got to give these kids, these people, opportunity to still live normal lives. They have enough that they have to deal with as far as, you know, sometimes they get discriminated against. There's always something unfair with them. So why take something that's so joyous and it's such a meaningful moment for them? Why even bother or interfere with it? They should have the opportunity, just like the regular, the other Olympic athletes. They get to participate and to compete and enjoy that moment and prosper from that moment. Them to even consider taking some of the funding away is just mind-boggling to me. They should never even consider that in the first place. So, right. I just hope it all works itself out. They leave it alone and let it continue to prosper and be a great sport.
Yes. If something's not broken, don't fix it. Special Olympics is not broken. Stop trying to do all these things and say you're also treating them fairly and the same. We know how much sports generates. You wouldn't cut money to other sports programs. Don't do it to the Special Olympics. That's just my little note. All right, well, now switch it over to my Kelsey's doing a thing in the DMV segment, where Washington, calling all of Washington fans, because we are finally rid of the Ernie Grunfeld era. Yes, that is right. He is out, as he has been fired. And this is actually the first time in the Ted Leonsis era that he will enter next season without Ernie Grunfeld. You can see the passion and excitement behind my voice, because we have been long, long, long too ridden of Ernie Grunfeld. Now, Washington, if you've been watching the NBA as we wrap up, even though we know there's playoff contentions, but not here in Washington, because they're next to last in the Southeast Division, 32-46 record. They've been eliminated, guys, from the playoffs. What's new? But Grunfeld basically lost his job after 16 seasons. How? I don't know. He left